Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome
to Being Here.
I'm Ariel.
Shia.
And
good morning.
Afternoon.
Evening.
It depends on where you are, so we like to welcome all of you. A couple things to let you know right up front.
We finish each other's sentences.
It's our style of communication, so if it's your first time with us, it may take a little bit for you to get used to, but maybe not.
The other thing is we make you some promises.
I like promises.
Yeah.
Give me one.
We're not going to try to fix you or change you or make you better in any way.
Yay!
Now, here's another thing. Our approach is not psychotherapeutic. It is not psychological. It is not geared to fix you or make you better. What it is anthropological, and an anthropologist is someone who studies the way cultures function. And if you could apply that kind of objective looking or seeing to how it is that you function, your life would get better almost instantaneously. It's not instantaneous.
Transformation is what happens when you get into the moment.
Now, what it takes to get into the moment is to get engaged in what's happening in your life. But most of us are so future-oriented, we're not really here. We're trying to figure out where things are going as though the future is where things are and here is where they're not. And the future isn't here right now. It won't be here until it does get here, but it'll only get here as a moment of now. What's going to get us into this moment is listening. Listening is a skill set. Most of us don't listen very well. We listen to see through comparison whether we agree with what's being said or we disagree with what's being said or we already know what's being said.
You know, we talk about listening every week. I'm assuming every week, if not virtually every week. And I know that some of you are saying, oh, well, I've heard that before.
We've heard that part. We don't need to listen.
Why did you get on to the freedom bit? I'm here to listen to freedom. But your life shows up, and you can either be here for it or you can disagree with it. And if you're here for it, you're free. Ha-ha.
But how many of us disagree with the way our lives are showing up? You know, when that telephone rings at work and you're busy in a project and you're doing what you're doing and you're getting off on what you're doing, the phone rings and you have to answer it, you feel as though your freedom has been curtailed.
That's right. You've been interrupted. They ruined your moment.
So let's go back to listening.
Okay.
True listening is listening to hear what's being said from the other's point of view. It isn't about agreeing with it or disagreeing with it. It's about being there to hear what's being said. I mean, if you're a parent, how often do your children talk to you and you appear to be listening, but really you're working out other things in your thoughts? You're thinking about what you have to do the next day, about making them food, about all the things that are involved in your life. And so how much of the time are you actually stopping the action to listen to what's being said to you by your children, by your coworkers, by your friends, by your boyfriend, by your girlfriend? How much of the time are you actually stopping the action and listening? I would assert that it is not very much of the time.
Well, part of it is it's you need to develop the muscle of listening, as it were.
We live in an incredibly complex technological society. We just got an iPhone. And I got to tell you, I have been engaged in trying to figure out this iPhone so I can use its functionality.
So even the setup of the iPhone itself, not to mention whether or not you're getting your emails or you can get your phones or the text, but the setup itself can be distracting and pull you away from being here.
Well, out of that, I mean, Ariel can be talking to me, and I'm still working out a problem with the iPhone in my thoughts. Like, I set up our email account, and I only put my name down. And then I had to figure out, how am I going to go back in and correct it? Now, I did. You know, for one who considers himself technologically inferior, I realized that I could do it, and I did it. But my point is, whilst I was preoccupied trying to figure that out, I was not available to my universe. I was not available to my wife. I was not available to be free to be me, because I was engaged as an imprisoned in that thought loop of how to fix this thing.
So today, as we're talking, there's a very high likelihood that we'll be touching on subjects, and what you're going to do is skip off in your thoughts to think about those subjects, because it's only natural. So, for instance, when Shia was talking about a parent not listening and we're going off to look at making a meal, we do our radio show from our home office. And the moment he mentioned food, my nose kicked in. And I remembered that we have pasta sauce. It's that time of year. We've made some homemade pasta sauce. It's simmering on very, very low on the stove. But my mind jumped off to, oh, do I need to stir it? Da, da, da. Your mind is so facile, it can leave in an instant. But today is like a gymnasium in a certain respect. It's two things. It's a gymnasium for bringing yourself back to this moment, where you can be here, but it's also a break. You can relax into being yourself. You don't have to go anywhere else. There are three principles to instantaneous transformation
that will allow you to discover how to be free to actually choose your choices in life rather than have them determined in resistance to what's happened in your past. The first one is, anything you resist dominates your life. It continues, it persists, and it dominates your life. And now this is very interesting, because in the whole idea of freedom, the freedom to choose your own path in life, if you at some point said, I don't want to be like somebody else, like, say, a parent, then in that moment, you've made a decision that goes forward in time, so you could only be not like that person.
You've effectively cut off the freedom to be you.
Freedom to choose to be you, because you've already chosen to not be them.
You know, we talked about that first principle or that first idea, anything you resist dominates you. Well, another way to say resist is judge. If you judge something about you, if your mind skips off or you found that you've been preoccupied with your iPhone or the pasta sauce, if you judge that, then you are no longer free. What you resist persists, grows stronger, and it absolutely dominates this moment of your life, and you're not free.
But this moment is all you have in your life. In reality, the past has gone by. The future hasn't gotten here. And when the future does get here, it can only be here as a moment of now.
So the now, second idea is
let's
this.
Let's go to the second principle.
Yeah, it's kind of like go to the videotape. The second principle
is that you can only be exactly as you are in this moment of now. You can't be different than you are right now. Right now, right now, right now. You can only be exactly as you are.
You mean if somebody's listening to the show and they're finding themselves distracted or scattered, that's the only way they can be in this moment?
That's the only way they could have been in that moment, yes.
Uh-huh.
We've already moved on to a new moment.
Because the new moment is this. Third idea, anything you allow to be exactly as it is completes itself. So if you notice a non-judgmental, don't forget the non-judgmental part, because judgmental is the resisting part. If you notice non-judgmentally that you've been distracted, your attention is returned back to this moment, and you're available once again. You know, when your past determines your future, you are not free.
And the story of your life that you keep telling yourself and others predetermines how your life can show up in the next moment of now.
You know, close to 20 years ago, we made our first video. And it was called Instantaneous Transformation, interestingly enough. And we had a friend on this video. We had a number of friends in the video. But I remember there was a moment we were speaking to a fellow named Tony, who at that time was defining himself by his story of his life. I'm a this type of person. And he was so determined to hold on to that story that he was rejecting other people before that they could reject him. And I remember his story. You know, when you have a good, bad story, like you got burnt or you fell off your bike and you broke something or you had this horrible event happen, it's a good, bad story. And he had a few good, bad stories. And what we told him in this video is that you have to give up being special, and then you'll be free. Now, it's really interesting. All these years later, we still know Tony's a good friend of ours. He's given up being special.
Now, he had a lot of disabilities, like he was born hard of hearing, and then by age 11, he had a stroke, which left him paralyzed on one side of his body. And so he had to overcome. His right side was paralyzed. He had to relearn everything, including walking and talking. And so that was a hell of a story.
But since he doesn't label himself as a disabled person or a person with a handicap, that's not his definition of himself, that he's let go of those labels. He's free to be with people in this moment. And I tell you, most of the time, or many times, people, they forget all about what is visually obvious because it becomes irrelevant, because you're just being there with this incredible individual. So that's our...
But you see, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You can be this incredible individual, except when you dictate how your life shows up by telling the story of your life over and over again, and then re-infusing or contaminating the next moment of your life with your past. So nothing new shows up, and there is no freedom to be your true self.
Ah.
So when we come back for the break, we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, ready for something new? Come on back. Don't miss
taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Everybody is thinking green these days, but green is not just an environmental state of mind, it's a healthier state of being. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the structures we live and work in. It's not the dollars that we're spending, but how we spend those dollars. Are we consciously making informed decisions? Join host Connie McCullough as she explores healthier living by choice. Living Green, Healthier by Choice, airs live on the 7th Wave Network every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in for the challenge of a lifetime, a challenge for greener, healthier living.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We were talking about freedom and how if you're lost in the story of your life, you don't have the freedom to be you in this moment.
I like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really so true. If you're telling yourself how you are, you know, then you don't, that's how you're going to be. There's a possibility of discovering yourself newly in each moment.
Now, again, by extension, it's not just telling yourself how you are. If you're disagreeing with what's happening in your environment as well, then you're no longer free either. So if it's raining outside and you're disagreeing with that, you're not free. You're stuck.
Anything that you disagree with, you become the effect of you become the victim of anything that you disagree with.
Okay.
And there are no free victims.
No free victims.
No free victims. No happy victims either, for that matter.
Okay, so we have a caller calling in today, Judy. You there, Judy?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
I love what you were talking about, saying that you can only be the way you were and couldn't be any other way.
Why is that, dear?
Why do you love that?
Because I was driving to Pennsylvania with my mom last, Friday to visit my brother in the hospital, and I was getting frantic in the car, and then I was getting upset because we made a wrong turn and we went about 20 miles out of the way, and then I just felt really bad because, you know, it wasn't my mom's, I just made a mistake, and the directions just didn't match up to what the sign said.
Right.
But I was a little bit hard on myself, not a little, I was hard on myself and then hard on her. And then I just let it go, but on the way back, it sort of happened again. We didn't get in the wrong direction, I just got a little upset driving.
Well, you missed something. You were already worried and upset over your brother's health. We were talking in the show last week about living the moment, not in your worries, which you may not have caught that show yet. You should go back and listen to it in the archives. But we were talking about how it's so much easier to worry or be hard on yourself when you're already upset, when you're disagreeing with something that's happening in your environment. And that worry has an embedded complaint in it. You're complaining against something, whether it's yourself, life, God for striking your brother ill. There's when you prefer life to be showing up differently than the way it is, then you worry or you disagree or you resist. And then whilst you're in the midst of resisting, there's less of you available to make the right turn when you're driving down the road of life.
Because you're not there to see it. You're already engaged in a conversation that keeps you from being present. See, your true freedom happens when you are living your life directly in the present moment, not thinking about how you should do it. That's not freedom. That's figuring it out. And if you're figuring it out, you're missing your life because you can only do one thing at a time in life. And if you're thinking, you're not being where you are. Or you're worrying about the future. Or you're complaining about your mother.
Or all of the above?
All of the above.
So, did you have a question, Judy?
Yes, my question is, Yeah, when you talk about freedom or knowing, like, what's true for you, sometimes I'm not sure that I know what's true for me. I don't know if it's, if sometimes I can't figure out if I, what my truth is.
Well, I'll tell you how to figure it out.
How?
Well, look around you right now.
Okay.
What are you seeing when you look around you, Judy?
Well, I'm sitting in my office,
well,
so I see my computer and my desk.
Judy.
And
Judy?
Yes?
You're true. You want to be in your office right now, and you want to be sitting right now.
You want to be at your desk.
Right.
Now you know that? That's what you're doing.
Right.
And that's your truth.
Now,
you may have a conversation that says, I'd rather be somewhere else.
So I know that we are simplistically, in a certain respect, answering your question, but really what Shia had to say is absolutely the answer. So I'm going to repeat it again in case you missed it or think, wait.
Translate it to girl, will you?
Well, you've got what you want. And then trying to figure out what your truth is something that happens up in your thought process. But if you take a look, you have a body truth.
Well, here's the other thing, Judy. You have an apartment that you live in?
Yes.
Do you own the apartment or rent the apartment?
I own the apartment.
That's what you want, and that's what your truth is. And you've done a lot of things to produce that. You've earned the money.
You've paid the mortgage payments. You've lived there.
That's right. Been your truth, and it's what you wanted.
Yeah, I see that. I guess where I get a little confused is when I'm looking at doing something or not doing something.
Well, here's the thing. This is really good. Most of us, when we're looking at doing something or not doing something, it's like a teeter-totter. You know, like a scale.
Yes, should I, should I?
You put weight on one end and weight on the other.
Yes.
You put the pros on one side of the scale and the cons on the other side of the scale, and whichever one weighs more is what you do.
Right.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. The other thing is to take into account your gut feelings, what you want, what your heart tells you, what your intuition tells you, rather than in the pros and cons.
Shia was talking about it a little bit earlier in the show about getting interested in yourself as an anthropologist. And an anthropologist is somebody who studies cultures. And one of the things that, in order for you to really be free from this mental gyrations of am I doing my life right, is to get interested in your own personal internal code. And I have an example for you about you from my experience of you. Ready?
Yes.
There came a point where you registered to come to our adventures in Costa Rica. We're doing
In 2009,
in January, we're doing 2 week-long groups, the 10th to the 17th and the 17th to the 24th, in Costa Rica Self-Discovery Adventures. And you signed up for one, and you were excited to go. And at some point, you started thinking about whether or not to come to two courses. And then you said, well, I want to, but I need to speak to my boss first. And I understand that because that sounds like a really reasonable, logical, and appropriate thing to do. You don't just jump off things without letting people know. But given the structure of your job, I'm clear that from what you've told us and how successful you are, and we know you're very successful, that your boss is really happy with whatever you do, take a week, take 2 weeks. It really matters not, provided that your job is covered and you get your job done. So eventually you were saying, oh, I have to wait till he gets back. I'm going to talk to him. But eventually you just made the leap without talking to him. My feeling is the I have to talk to my boss first was code to you, from you, to I have to decide whether or not I'm worth it first, whether or not I'm going to give that to myself.
Right.
And you did it. I know you're a Yankee fan, and that you, if you were going to go to the
All-Star game,
it was a huge financial commitment given what a normal game at Yankee Stadium is, but it's the last year that Yankee Stadium is there. And are you going to give yourself that which you really want? Are you going to have be the freedom to be yourself and express yourself? I guarantee you, you stutter-stepped before you bought that ticket.
Yes.
So the do I really want to do this may actually be code for am I willing to give myself that?
Do I deserve it? Am I good enough? Have I done what I need to do to justify allowing myself to have this vacation, this game, this event in my life?
I know another person who, when they are looking at buying things for their home, if they don't really like it, but it's really nice, they'll say, oh, well, it's a bit expensive. I don't have the money for that. And it's not that they don't have the money for that. They have money for something like that, but that's not exactly the thing they want. But when they start telling themselves the truth about their own personal mental commentary code, then they discover that they're actually living the life they want.
Right. Because the truth is, if I really want something, I just do it. Well, I do stutter step, then I do it.
Right.
I just did that with the buying a laptop.
Yeah. It would be interesting if you could discover that when you see something you want, you can just do it rather than have to doubt yourself first.
That would be great.
Yeah, so it should be really fun. I would play a game with yourself to, when you know you want something, to engage right away rather than to have to pause and look and find a way to rationalize it. It should be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Thank
cool.
you.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
You guys have a lovely day.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, so that was excellent. That was Judy looking at her own personal freedom. You need to keep looking at your own personal freedom. So, we are going to go to a break here shortly. And when we come back, we'll speak to somebody else. We'll talk more about freedom. So come on back after the break.
And don't miss being here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here.
Talking about freedom today, the freedom to be yourself, the freedom to be in the moment.
The freedom to live your life not in resistance to someone else or something else. So many of us live our lives in resistance to someone else, so we're not really living our life. Our choices are strongly determined by our resistance to someone, say, from our childhood, like our mother or our father. So we then, in a resistance to them, have cut out any area of our life that resembles how they did their life.
It's very interesting that recently incompletions with one's parents has come up very strongly as a theme in a lot of the Mondays and different courses we've been doing, where people have been grappling with living a full life and letting go of the story about what their parents did or didn't do when they were kids.
You know, that story of your life, if you hold on to it, you don't have a life. You have a repeat of those things that you say you didn't like in your past. You know, when you're holding on to that your parents did it wrong, the ability to create a magical relationship is severely hampered, because if you're dating a woman, she might remind you of your mother, or she might, if you're sort of masculine, she might remind you of your father. Or if you're dating a man, and he could remind you of your father, and if you're incomplete with your father, then you'll fight with him. And it's really a mess if you're reliving your past out of your resistance to one or the other of your parents.
But there is hope.
There is hope.
Yeah, transformation.
Oh, transformation. I've heard of that.
Instantaneous transformation.
I heard about that.
It's a byproduct when you get into the moment. And you know what's really neat about transformation? It's not like this logical, sequential, linear leap into transformation. It's not suggested by what came before. It's not, I'm moving forward and then I'll transform.
Uh-huh.
It happens in an instant.
So it isn't gradual.
Mm-mm.
It's an instantaneous shift.
And there's no trace of it happening. So one moment you are fighting with your life, fighting with your parents who may or may not still be alive. And in the next instant, you are free. And transformation is one of these byproducts that happens when you get into the moment, which is why we recommend every single show
to engage fully. Actually listening, not to see whether you agree or disagree, but to hear what's being said, will pull you into the moment. And if you get into the moment, then transformation happens as a result of being in the moment.
And you know what? Transformation is not permanent.
It isn't?
Mm-mm.
It's not provable.
There's
no
guarantee you'll stay transformed. Odds are that you'll fall out of it, but guess what? You engage once again. Once again, transformation is instantaneous and it's cumulative.
It's kind of like programming my iPhone.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, you know, at first, they transferred all my other phone records in, and at first, I had to really work hard to try to figure out how to create an edited contacts list so that I could function with it.
So that my cell phone, my last name was an Ariel cell?
Right.
So I
right.
didn't show up under C, but showed up under Ariel?
Exactly. And so at first it was difficult to figure it all out, but then once I realized how it worked, it was simple and easy, just like transformation. At first, the whole concept of having your life transform is sort of mind-boggling. It's confusing. We speak in what appear to be paradoxes, where we're saying one thing and then we say another thing, and it's all pretty confusing.
But as you get the hang of it...
It gets easier and easier.
And faster.
And faster.
Okay, so we have another caller on the line.
We have Mark.
You there, Mark?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Where are you calling from, Mark?
I'm sorry?
Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from my home office.
Well,
awesome.
Excellent.
Where is that?
It's where I live, in Washington Heights.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. New York City.
Yes, sir.
So this is your first time on the show with us, yes?
Yes, it is. I'm very excited.
Oh, well, welcome.
Thank you.
So,
what would you like to talk about, ask, or look at?
Well, I took your Creativity and Intuition workshop a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I know who you are.
And
yes.
since then, because we're talking about freedom today, I've seen the possibility of allowing myself to be more free in my performing. I'm a singer and an actor.
Yes.
And the other thing I'm seeing as an obstacle to that freedom is my perception of judgment, that, you know, when you go in to audition for a job, it's pretty black and white. You know, you either get the job or you don't. And I find that those, particularly audition situations, are when I feel like my freedom is the most constricted or caged or I'm least
likely. Well, let me free you up.
Okay.
See, whether you get the job or not is not the material thing. Sometimes you can go in for an audition and be the best person there in that audition and not get the job because they're looking for a type of person like that if they were looking for somebody to fit a role that, say, came from an ethnic background.
Well, for example, when I was young, I went in for an audition for a role on All My Children to play the daughter of a character who had dark hair and she was Italian. And if you go up on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, for those of you who have not seen our faces, unless you're looking at it now on the show banner, you will know that I do not look like an Italian dark-haired lady. And everybody was really clear that I did absolutely the best audition, and it's not just myself tooting my own horn back in those you know, from those days, so I feel better. It was just the case. But there was no way they could cast me. I did not fit. Mind you, they wrote something for me down the road.
But, Mark, there are auditions you go to where you may or may not get the job, but it's not dependent on your talent or ability. It's dependent on whether you fit the image they're looking to portray.
We were talking about it in last week's... did you have more on that?
No.
We were talking about it on last week's show about back in August when we were watching the Olympics, and that the people who were really these stellar Olympians weren't swimming to win the race and get the gold. They were swimming to do their very best in that particular race. And if what you're doing is auditioning to get the job, then you're definitely not doing your best performance, even if you do get the job ultimately.
Mm. Yeah, I see that.
That audition is really about expressing yourself fully in that moment, in concert with those people who are auditioning you. The other thing you miss... They want you to succeed. They're there holding auditions because they're looking for great performers.
But, Mark, if they remind you, let's say the director reminds you of your father and perhaps you've been had a history of resisting your father, well, then you are not going to want to give them what they want. not because you have something against them, but there's an old mechanical predisposition to resist any man in authority or any woman in authority. And that will determine your ability to fully express yourself, where you have the freedom to be the character that you're reading.
The other thing I've noticed too is that for me it seems to have a lot to do with being able to give myself permission. That one thing I noticed going back again to the creativity and intuition workshop is we had a lunch assignment where we were supposed to pair off and go out to lunch, and then you talked about us, we're supposed to be different ages, like we were supposed to be 7 years old. And once you had given me the permission to that, I really got into that assignment. And in the context of that lunch, I was experiencing a freedom that, you know, I haven't felt, I think, since I moved to New York. So, you know, I'm interested to know what you might think about that whole idea of just giving yourself permission or inviting yourself to do that.
You know what? Chaya had something really, really great for you. And you know what else?
What's that?
He's going to have to give you the answer after the break, because we're going to have to go to a break shortly here. We're absolutely up for answering your question about what gives you more freedom to be yourself. We'll be back after the break. Come on back.
Don't miss being here.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We're here with Mark.
And we're talking about giving oneself permission to be oneself, to be free, to be yourself. And Mark had talked about a workshop that we did in New York a number of weeks ago called Creativity and Intuition that he attended, and he asked a question. He said that we went to lunch one day, and we gave them the assignment to be a certain age, and his particular group of people that he went to lunch with were 7 years old, and he felt really free in himself.
You know, don't worry, the 7-year-olds didn't throw food at the waiters and waitresses. It was more like an attitude or a way to be.
So the question now, Mark, is?
is, well, I was just curious to what that whole idea or how I can enable myself more to give myself permission to do that.
Well, you could start by enabling yourself in every little thing you do. See, I bet, Mark, if I were a fly on the wall in your head and could listen to the conversations you have with you, that you second-guess yourself, that you're trying to do it right so bad that you are constantly editing. It's like you're trying to write and edit at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true?
Yes.
Good. That's good that that's true.
And as a 7-year-old, you gave yourself license not to have to second-guess your actions, but just to be delighted in life itself.
And be impetuous. And
dare we say,
have fun. And I don't believe you allow yourself to have fun when you go to an audition. It's become a serious thing, you see.
No, I think that's exactly right. And you remind me of a time when I was working on an audition with a coach, and we'd finished up what we were doing. And as I was going out the door, he says, "Now have fun." And when I shut the door, I thought, well, that's an odd thing to say. But it goes to exactly what you're saying, that, you know, getting in that mindset that it is fun, or it can be fun if you let yourself.
Well, but you see, it's not a mindset. It's a way of being into life. You can either be having fun with your life, or you can seriously be trying to get somewhere other than where you are.
You know, Shai and I have fun virtually everywhere we go. We'll go into the checkout line.
At the supermarket.
And they're always telling us, wow, you guys are different. You're fun. And they get worried when I'm packing the groceries, you know, that he's making me pack. And I always have to say, no, I love packing groceries. It's like organizing. It's instantaneous gratification where I get to organize things. But a lot of those people are at work, and they're imprisoned.
Right. See, you're free when you are choosing your life as it is showing up in that moment. That's true freedom, to be choosing your life moment by moment, to be doing what you're doing so you're not in resistance to the way your life is showing up, so that you're just there for it, and you're loving it. So it doesn't have to be the nicest of things. Like, you could be in a traffic jam and have a wonderful time.
I've got something else very interesting for you, and that is, if we're going way back to the Creativity and Intuition course, and we gave these lunch suggestions or lunch assignments as just little games to play, that there were people who did not have a good time with that. And the reason you had a great time is because you took it on as if it was your idea and you agreed to love the experience.
You gave yourself permission to do it without resisting it, and it became great fun.
Wholeheartedly, now, totality.
If you could, Mark, give yourself permission to go to an audition and have fun, you might get more jobs, but you can't do it to get more jobs.
Yeah, no, I understand now.
The other thing is, there's a little bit of checking things out and a little bit of reserve. Like, so when we're saying, hey, Mark, where are you calling from? You're like, my office. And we're like, well, where's your office? In my home. It's like there's kind of a, not like a wholehearted giving it.
Right, that. I was caught by that, too. But that's really good, because I bet you, unbeknownst to you, you do that when you go to an audition. Not in those words, but the essence of that withholding yourself, carefulness, not wanting to be taken advantage of. Or
the lack of abandon.
Yeah.
You know, we were speaking not too long ago with our friend Roderick Hill, who is an actor who I know you know, and he's quite successful. He's been in couple of Broadway shows, lots of commercials, movies, things like that. And he was talking about before he started immersing himself in this transformational framework and instantaneous transformation, before he started listening to Shia in particular, because he had so many issues with his father, that if a director would say, could you do it this way, he would know better and do something different, because he could not give them what they wanted. And I guarantee you, when you walk into a audition, it is challenging for you to wholeheartedly give them what they want. So if they're saying, how are you today, or they're asking you questions, it may be to get you to loosen up and to be there so they can see a bit of yourself. But if you,
because they do want you to win, you know, really. Mm-hmm. They're not there to eliminate people. They're there to find people who will work with them. Realize that, Mark?
Yes.
And when, what Ariel talked about before about your reservation in telling us where you were, that, as though it was a trick question, I guarantee you, you do stuff like that when you go for a audition.
Yeah.
And that's what shoots you in the foot. Not, see, I have no doubt that you're talented. But mm-hmm. I also have no doubt that you are so careful to try to do it right that you step on your feet.
Yeah.
And you step on your feet.
You know what? I have a suggestion for you, sir.
Oh, please.
We give us all permission to like you.
Okay.
Because, see, people want to like you. We like you. But it's almost like you're not letting us really enjoy the juiciness of Mark. Because you're talking to yourself in your mind. You're sorting. You're thinking. It's like you're working on your own personal internal iPhone.
Right. And, like, even right now, as we speak to you, there's this space between us and your answer. Because you're thinking through it rather than just hearing it and responding from your truth.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people's challenge. But it's a challenge that you can easily, I hate to use the word overcome, because
transform,
much
like
better
that,
word,
I like that.
Much better word, Mark. That's a perfect word, because it isn't about overcoming anything. It's about seeing that you do it, not judging yourself, and it will transform in the seeing of it alone.
You know, by the way, you can permanently be seven. From an adult perspective, you gave yourself that freedom once. You can do it again. It's like Shia's example about the iPhone. In a certain respect, if you practice giving yourself the freedom, it's going to get easier and easier, and it won't be so hard as it is at first.
Look, I was a very self-conscious young man, even till the time I was in my middle age category. I definitely could not speak in front of a group, given the story of my life. And here I am these days, a transformed human being who speaks in front of groups constantly. I mean, workshop after workshop, Monday night after Monday night. And the interesting thing is, I learned how to do it through practice. Practice letting go of my concerns of how I was going to be, and practicing taking care of the people I was auditioning for.
Speaking of Monday nights, we are back next Monday, September 8th. So those of you in the New York area, Washington Heights even, come on back to Monday Night Alive. Bring your friends. If you can't make it, if you're listening from a distance, share this show with people. Being here makes a difference. We're going to be in Hamburg before you know it for Freedom to Breathe and Art of Listening in October. You can check all the information on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com.
Mark, thank you very much for being here with us. And
oh, thank you guys.
Yeah.
And come back. And
don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.